Thank you. Hello, I'm Michael Klein from Northwestern University Libraries. I'm the tech lead in our repository development and administration team within our repository and digital curation work group. And I'm going to talk about just a small part of our journey of moving toward a more cloud-friendly infrastructure. We've been on this journey for a couple years now, and I like to highlight different parts of it. The first question is, when did we build a performance standards compliant IIIF service in less than 500 lines of JavaScript? The answer to that is in November 2018. We would have done it sooner. It was done in a bit of a hurry, and I will get to that in a moment, because the next question is, why did we build a performance standards compliant IIIF service in less than 500 lines of JavaScript? We were working on our digital collections discovery interface, which has a tiling image display backed by a IIIF server. And we found that as we were getting closer to our release date, we were having an image serving bottleneck. Sometimes images wouldn't show up at all. Thumbnails and tiles were slow to load. I'm sure everyone here has had that experience where you're looking at Google Maps and the one tile that has the one place you're trying to get to is the one thing that stays looking like a random grid instead of actually filling in with streets or other data. And we found that our existing system was not working at scale. Part of the reason for that, this is our infrastructure diagram. You can ignore just about everything on it except for that bit in the center, the Cantaloupe IIIF image server. We were using an open source solution called Cantaloupe, which is great. Cantaloupe is a really nice product. The documentation is good. It's flexible, it's powerful, and it is highly configurable. But highly configurable for us, and for especially for me as a developer, I find highly configurable to be highly problematic. At some point, highly configurable just means programmable using a syntax and domain model written specifically for this application by a developer who probably didn't realize they were writing a programming language. When the configuration becomes too complicated, you might as well be writing code by the time you get through the configuration. And so we decided to go back and take a look at, with no assumptions, at what we were running as our IIIF server. This config file, by the way, including comments, is 658 lines long. So this config file is longer than our entire IIIF deployed solution at this point. The next question is, what did we actually build? And the answer is partially this. This is a screenshot of Amazon Web Services API Gateway, which allows you to define HTTP APIs and resources that respond to different backends. So you can have resources and URL fragments that are backed by running HTTP applications. They can serve static data out of Amazon S3 storage buckets. They can go outside of Amazon and serve proxy information from anywhere. It's just an aggregator for different backends. And ours just happens to be served by a Lambda proxy. An AWS Lambda, I don't want to get into too much detail because I'm short on time already, because I started short on time. It's a serverless function. It's just a function that the infrastructure that it needs launches when it's needed. It goes away when the function returns. It's fast. It's small. You're billed by the microsecond or something of that nature. So you're only paying when the server is active and not paying to have a server running 24/7. It's also this. This is the heart of the system. It is a IIIF processor class written in JavaScript. So it's not just a Lambda. It can also be a standalone application for testing or a Node Express application to run on the desktop. The constructor takes two parameters, a URL of the request and a stream resolver. The URL parses out the ID, region, size, rotation, quality, and format parameters, all the things that a IIIF request provides, and it hangs on to that stream resolver. And all your stream resolver has to do for your unique implementation, this is what I mean by code instead of configuration, where instead of telling Cantaloupe our IDs have to be manipulated this way and turned into this location and it's stored on the file system in S3 or in a database or any of the things that Cantaloupe knows how to do, but you have to know how to configure, all you do is take an ID and return an open JavaScript stream handle to the image, and then this class will take over from there. And this is the glue code that turns that processor into a Lambda. It's pretty short. This isn't the whole thing, but this is the heart of it. The whole file is 112 lines long, so shorter than that config file was, even if you strip all those comments out of it. And this also adds the authentication, authorization, and contextual error handling that a IIIF processor doesn't necessarily need to know how to do in the first place. This is our stream resolver. It just returns a stream, takes an ID in, stream out. How did we build it? Fortunately, there were some amazing tools available to us. LibVips, an image processing library that is faster and less memory demanding than any other I've seen. And Sharp, an excellent JavaScript binding for LibVips. And the last question that I haven't answered yet is, who built this? The answer is I did, but I don't do anything without these people involved. And I'm not the first person to have built a Node IIIF server on Sharp. I want to make that clear. Jason Ranallo did it before, but his was not geared toward cloud deployment. So, and there we have it.